Let's dive in the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. As we continue to go verse by verse and chapter by chapter in the Gospel of Mark, and on Wednesdays, we're in the book of Genesis, going chapter by chapter there, just going through the Word of God. And Father, we are so grateful that you brought us to this moment to sit at your feet and hear from you. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 1, looking at verses 21 to 45, where we're going to finish up this chapter. The title of this message is Jesus Touched Me. Jesus Touched Me. Now, there is nothing in the world like the human touch. The touch on the shoulder by a supervisor saying, good job. The touch of a parent on the head of a child when he brings home a good report card. Or the touch of a spouse saying, I love you, or I am sorry, can go a long way in our lives. But how special would a touch by Jesus be to us? I believe it'll mean the world to many of us. Now, I have to say this because many people believe that being touched by Jesus is having an emotional experience, and that's not what I'm talking about. And many of you come to church, and because you've had an emotional experience, you say, I was touched by Jesus. No, you had an emotional experience with Jesus. It doesn't mean you've been touched by him. And all because you've been stirred in your emotions, it doesn't equate to being touched by the Lord. And many people mistaken the emotional experience with the Lord or having that emotional experience and being touched by the Lord. And it's two different things. We're going to look at that. And there are several people in this chapter that Jesus is going to touch in one way or another. And this is important for us to study. No matter what condition we find ourselves in, Jesus can touch us too and change our lives. See, when we're touched by the Lord, it's going to change who we are. See, many people have an emotional experience with the Lord and they leave here. As soon as they leave here and get in a parking lot, you're back to being the same person you always been. So it just showed that you had an emotional experience. When you've been touched by the Lord, it changes your life. It changes who you are. And we're going to see what changes will take place to show that you truly been touched by the Lord. Look at verses 21 and 22. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, Capernaum was a prosperous fishing village on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. Once they were there, Jesus went into the synagogue and taught. Mark always brings out the teaching ministry of Jesus. Now, the synagogue was the place of prayer and worship and teaching. It was different from the temple where the sacrifices were made. If you had 10 Jewish males in one particular place, then you would erect a synagogue. And whenever a traveling rabbi came through the area, the ruler of the synagogue would allow him to speak. So when Jesus spoke, they were blown away at his teaching because he spoke with authority and not as the scribes. See, the scribes will always quote other rabbis. Well, Rabbi Shammai said this and Rabbi Hillel says this, but they were blown away that Jesus didn't speak like that. Jesus will say, you've heard it said of those of old, but I say. And they say, whoa, this guy is coming with some authority. Who is this guy? And they were blown away at his teaching. Look at verses 23 to 28. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now, what blows me away is that here is this guy, demon-possessed guy, how he went undetected for some time in the synagogue until Jesus came and exposed him. Verse 23 says that he had an unclean spirit. Now, the Greek word for unclean means impure. It means foul or unclean. And what I find that amazes me is that there are people who still come to church today with an unclean spirit, impure in your thoughts and foul in your actions. And you come and you might be undetected for a period of time, but Jesus will expose you. Come into church to pray, not P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y. Pray upon the women here, or to seduce the men. And when you're exposed, you respond like the demons in verse 24. Leave us alone. What have we to do with you in this church? I'm out of here and not coming back. Well, good. People still come to church with an unclean spirit. And Jesus will expose you as well. Look at verses 29 to 31. Now, as soon as they came out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Now, the first thing I want to show you from these verses is how Peter took Jesus home after church, so to speak. Verse 29 says that when they left the synagogue, they entered Peter's house. And this is always a good practice to have, to take Jesus home with you when you leave church. My prayer is that when you leave church or Bible study on Wednesdays, that we don't leave Jesus here, so to speak, but that we take him home with us. Why is that important? Because things can be hot when you get there. You say, what do you mean? Verse 30 says that Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. Satan will always have some heat for us. Something hot and feverish for us when we get home. Something with the kids. Or something with the spouse who didn't want to come. Or some phone call coming from some family member. Satan will always try to heat things up for us when we get home. But when we take Jesus home with us, something miraculous will always take place. The second thing I want to show you is after Jesus touched Peter's mother-in-law and healed her, verse 31 says she served them. You can always tell those who have been touched by Jesus, you see them serving. They're serving in the children's ministry, in the parking lot, ushering, greeting, in the sound booth. They're serving in some capacity, some outreach capacity we have at the church. People who have been touched by Jesus serves God's people in some capacity. So my question to you is, where are you serving? If you have been truly touched by Jesus, we will find you serving in some capacity. See, this is why I said there's a difference between serving God and having an emotional experience with God. You can come here every Sunday, every Wednesday, and just have an emotional experience with the Lord. And you can sit on your rear end every Sunday, every Wednesday, and do nothing else in the church. And it doesn't mean you've been touched by Jesus. Because when you've been touched, a sign that you've been touched, you're going to serve. You're going to serve someone. We're going to find you, sir. We won't have to beg you. We won't have to throw hints at you and we don't have to nudge you in some kind of capacity. When you have been touched by Jesus and truly touched by you, we will find you serving in some capacity, in some kind of way. We have over 30 different ministries here, and we will find you in some capacity serving. You can't come Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, come to this church year after year and don't serve anywhere. And then you're going to claim, I've been touched. And you mean people, the Lord touched me. The Lord didn't touch you. Because then when you truly been touched, we'll find you serving. We don't have to ask you. We wouldn't even have to put up any announcements. You would just say, you know what? I used to do this and I have a heart for this. You have this kind of message. What? Yeah, we have that right down. Yeah, okay. And we'll find you serving in some capacity. We're going to come back to that. Look at verses 32 to 34. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now, in these verses, the people heard how Jesus touched and healed the demon-possessed man, Peter's mother-in-law. So at sundown, which marked the end of the Sabbath day, they brought all of their family members and friends who were sick to be healed by Jesus as well. This is another sign that you have been touched by Jesus, is that you want others to be touched by him as well. When Jesus has delivered you from uncleanness and addictions and habits, you can't help but to bring other people that are unclean and addicted and sick to Jesus as well. And many people talk the talk of being touched by the Lord, but they don't serve anywhere in the church, and they never tell other people about Jesus. I believe I'm talking to many people here right now. These particular people, they couldn't help but to bring other people to Jesus. When the Lord has touched you, let's just say you were physically blind, and all of a sudden, Jesus touched you and you receive your sight. And you know you live with, live by, work with other folks who are blind. There is no way in the world that you wouldn't tell other people how you now can see. You couldn't help but say, you know what, you're blind. You need to, Jesus, help me. I can see now. You ought to see the beautiful colors that's out there, the sky, you know, the beautiful flowers. And they're like, what are you talking about? You just need to come see. You just need to come. I can see now. You would do that. But we don't realize we were spiritually blind. We couldn't see spiritually. And Jesus opened our eyes and we have our sight and we're looking around at other people doing this and we just say nothing. That is exactly what many people do today. But when you've been touched by Jesus, truly touched by him, you want to serve his people. You want to tell others about him. You can't help it. I'm speaking to many people because so many folks, they claim they've been touched by the Lord, but you don't see the evidence of Jesus touching them in their lives. You don't see them talking to other people about Jesus. You don't see them serving anywhere in church. You have not truly been touched by him. You might have had an emotional experience with him, but you haven't been touched. Because when you've been touched, you can't help it. Jeremiah said it was like fire shut up in my bones. I just couldn't shut up. I just got to tell somebody. I got to talk to somebody about the Lord. The one who's done so much for me. The one who freed me, who made me clean. The one who freed me from addictions and habits and all kind of mess. I can't help but to tell other folks about it. I can't help it. I can't help it. I got to tell somebody. And this is what is happening here. These people, they couldn't help but to bring others to the Lord. Look at verses 35 to 39. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee and casting out demons. Now, in these verses, Jesus gives us the key to handling a busy life. Many of us, we say, well, you know, I can't serve anywhere in the church. I can't do anything because, you know, my life is so busy, so complicated. I got the kids and, you know, they have the soccer games and the recitals and they got the football practice. That's every day. Then the games on the weekend and I got this going on. The job asked me to do some overtime and I just got this and I got it. I can't serve anywhere in the church. Oh my God, I have a busy life. Okay. Now, let's see if your life is any busier than Jesus. He was traveling from city to city, teaching in all the synagogues, casting out demons, healing mother-in-laws, then healing all multitudes of sick folks. How could Jesus handle such a schedule and stay effective in ministry? And watch this one, and stay sane at the same time. The key is verse 35. Now in the morning, having arisen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. The key to handling our busy lives is getting up early in the morning. Now, many of you are asking, well, how early? Well, it says a long while before daylight. Now, when is that? 3 in the morning? 2:30? A long while before daylight? I don't know what that is. But he went out to a solitary place and spent some time with the Father in prayer and the meditation on the Word of God. If Jesus felt the need to do that, how much more should we? You've heard me say this before. If we don't come apart to be with the Lord, we will fall apart during the day. And this is a principle seen throughout the scriptures. The Israelites were told in Exodus 16, verse 21, to collect the manna in the morning, every morning. David said in Psalm 5:3, O Lord, in the morning, do I direct my prayer unto thee, do I look up. David said on another occasion, it's not on the screen, but if you note takers, Psalm 63, verse 1, he says, O Lord, my God, early will I seek you. And here is Jesus following the same principle here. Now, in the morning, verse 35 says, having arisen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Moms, single parents with babies and toddlers, I know that this is difficult, but it's not impossible. It's difficult. Especially if your husband or wife is gone fighting in the war overseas, and you might be married, but you're single because they're overseas. I say this because as soon as the little one goes down for a nap, then there's the cleaning and the laundry and the getting lunch and dinner prepared, and woe be it unto you if you work outside the home. It's never ending. My heart goes out to you, but you must come apart to be with Jesus, or you will fall apart by life's pressures and its demands. Like I mentioned, Jesus saw the need to spend time with the Father early in the morning, with the life that the busyness that he had. He had 3.5 years to do everything he came to this earth to do. He made every moment count, but he took the time to spend that time with the Father early in the morning. Men, now what I'm about to tell you, I'm telling you from, not from the example that I set, but I'm telling you, learn from my mistakes. I didn't do a good job at this early on. Early on, we were starting the church. I was trying to get the church going. I'm trying to pour all, you know, and I didn't do a good job at this. Men, you better allow your wife to come apart or she's going to fall apart. Ladies, you got to come apart. I'm going to tell you, man, let me tell you something. If you don't let her get apart, she gonna hurt somebody in that house, and namely you. I'm just telling you, I'm just being real. She gonna hurt somebody in there. She has to get away to be with the Lord. So you better, you know, gather up those little ones and go to park or something. Let them swing on the swing, run that energy off and slide on the sliding board and put them in bed early and let her get some time. She has to. I'm telling you, I'm not telling you because I was a great example of it. I wasn't. I was focused on the church and church stuff and all kind of stuff, and I didn't do a good job at this. You better learn from my example. Let her come apart before she falls apart. Because mama fall apart, the house ain't right. You know that. House is crazy. She ain't right. It's true. Happy wife is happy life. There's still some truth to that. Solomon knew. with 700 wives, 300 concubines, I still got to talk to him. He's one of the first ones I need to talk to when we get in heaven. I said, bro, how did you do that? I just need to sit down, bro. We got eternity. So, hey, sit down. We need to talk. I need to know each day, what was your daily routine? And he said, it's better to dwell in the corner of the attic, the rooftop, than be in the house with a contentious woman. Good grief. He said, like a drippy faucet on a rainy day, like a contentious woman. Goodness, I'm telling you, men, you better let it come apart. You don't want her to get contentious. Good grief. It will be some mess in that house. You better let her do it. The second thing Jesus shows us in these verses is how to handle success when it comes our way. Notice how the disciples come to Jesus in verse 37. Notice this and says, everyone is looking for you. What do you do when everyone is pulling at you and want your time and your attention? The kids want your attention. The house needs your attention. And if you work outside the home, they're pulling at you. Your spouse is pulling at you at the same time. How do you handle popularity? Because you're popular. Moms, you're the most popular thing in the house. Did you know that? You're the most popular. How do you handle popularity? The same way Jesus did, by spending time in prayer and meditation in the morning. Because in the morning, the Lord will give you your marching orders for the day. Notice how Jesus, according to verse 38, totally left the area and went to a different town. Now, they had just finished saying, everyone is looking for you. You would think, okay, all right, okay, let me go out to the crowds. Let me, you know. No, Jesus said, I'm out of here. Peace out. He said at the end of verse 38, the purpose of why I'm here is to preach the gospel. And all these other things are fine, but they will get me off course. These demands will derail my purpose of why I am here. This is so important because popularity and success can be a double-edged sword. It can be good in one way and bad in another way. With people come their problems and their issues. With everyone looking for you, you can get off track with your true purpose in life. In other words, Jesus was saying this. Watch this. Jesus was saying, if I spent all of my time with people and their problems and their issues, I will get off track of why I came. This is key. He would say, I came to heal people of their spiritual issues, which is internal. But if I spend all my time with folks and their external needs, I would get off course. Watch this. Jesus said, I came to preach the gospel. See, preaching of the gospel is going to save a soul internally. Jesus is saying, if I spend all of my time healing people of their physical needs, and if they died and went to hell, what did I do? Jesus is saying, I came to preach the gospel because in the preaching of the gospel, it will heal their spiritual problem, which is internal. So Jesus said, I can heal some folks. That's fine and dandy. I care about folks and their needs. That's okay. But guess what? I came to preach the gospel to take care of their internal issues. And the same is true for us. We need to get up early in the morning and get our orders from the Lord for the day and don't allow other things to take us off course or why we're here. See, many of you don't know whether you're off course or not because you haven't gotten your marching orders for the day. So how would you know that this appointment, this thing, this person, this delay is taking you off course? How would you know that? How would you know that? Jesus said, the purpose of why I came is to preach the gospel. And these other things will get me off course. They're fine. I can do a few. I can heal some folks. But I need to go and finish preaching the gospel. And he said, it will get me off course of why I'm here. Here's my question for you. Do you know why you're here? Why are you here? Do you know your purpose in life? Why did God allow for you to be born? You need to see, because what you think is your purpose may not be. You won't find out your true purpose till you commit your life to Jesus Christ. That's when you will find your true purpose. Let me give you a perfect example in my own life. You heard me say this before. I thought this was my life. I had it all mapped out. Young teenager had it all mapped out. I had a choice. I had an academic scholarship to go here or a baseball scholarship to go there. I said, okay, I'm going to take the academic scholarship because I'm chasing after a young lady so I can take that academic scholarship there. Okay. Well, that young lady has been my wife almost 30 years now. So I made a good choice there. So that's good. Okay. Or I can take this baseball scholarship. And I said, no, I'm going to take the academic one. Okay. And then, okay, I'm going to study electronic technology. Okay. I'm going to go into robotics right afterwards. It was right at the early stages of all this. I said, okay, good. Okay. I can easily walk on the baseball team and be no problem. And after I finish my professional baseball career, I can go into electronic technology and do all that sort of stuff. But the Lord came in my life and said, you know, that was so good what you said about your life. That was really good. But you know what? I have something totally different for you. What? Yeah, I have something totally different. 30 years ago, did I even have the foggiest idea that I will be standing here doing what I'm doing? No way. But God did. And so, see, I had some plans, but God said, you know what? I got something totally different for you. Why do I bring that up? Because until I committed my life to Jesus Christ, he revealed his plan for me. Until you commit your life to Jesus Christ, you don't have a clue whether you're on track or off track with what God has for you. It could be totally different from what you went to school for. And many of you are saying, you know, I'm by hook or by crook, I'm going in that area. I got some student loans and things I need to pay back. And you're trying to say that was a waste of time? No way. I'm going in this. Really? Really? Not until you. It may be what it could be what God wants for you, but it might not. And you need to be open to that. I thought I had my life planned out. I thought it was it. This is it. This is my life. But the Lord said, I got something totally different for you. I believe I'm speaking to some folks today because you know what? You're at a crossroads in your life and you've been sensing God kind of nudging you in a different direction. And you like, really? No, God, that couldn't be the Lord. I rebuke you, Satan. That could... It's no rebuking. It's God saying, you know what? I have something different for you. And you need to be open to that. But you won't know until you commit your life to Jesus Christ and find why you're here. Many of you don't even know why you're here. Why did God allow for you to be born? When many people, especially today, are aborting children, God allowed for you to be here. Why? Just to take up some air? Just be on this earth to be an earthling? Really? Why did he allow for you to be here? What's your purpose in life? Why did he create you with the gifts and experiences and the education that you have? Why? Why he allowed this and didn't allow that? Why? Why? You need to know why. And I believe that God is speaking to some folks today that you need to know why you're here instead of just taking up some more air. You know, it blew me away this morning, turned on the radio as I was heading here. And I didn't know we had grown that fast, but they said by the end of the month, we would be at 7 billion people on the earth. 7 billion? Really? 7 billion? And why are you here? Why? You need to find out. Because you need to know whether you're off track or on track with what God has for you. Look at verses 40 to 45. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in the deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Now, when Jesus touched Peter's mother-in-law, many who were sick with various diseases. Now, in these verses, we see Jesus touching someone with leprosy. Leprosy was a dreadful disease. It's Hansen's disease today. And when leprosy will begin to spread, it will begin to deaden the nerve endings in the body. And this is why you can walk places and you can, you know, hit your hand or something like that. And you go down the road, you look up, your fingers are gone. Toes. In the middle stages of this disease, your nose will disappear totally as your face become very disfigured. It's a dreadful, dreadful disease. Also, there will be a very strong odor emanating from the body of someone with leprosy. Many rabbis felt strongly that leprosy was a direct judgment from God. In fact, the word leprosy means smitten. And they felt that if you had leprosy, you were being judged in a great way, like Miriam was. You remember Moses's sister who spoke against him in Numbers chapter 12, verse 10, and God struck her with leprosy. And this is why the rabbis felt so strongly about someone with the disease. One rabbi said, "I would not so much as buy an egg from a market that was on the street that a leper walked down." Another rabbi said, "When I see lepers coming, I would throw stones at them until they turn and run in the opposite direction." Now, many of us say, "That is mean. That's so cruel." But we do the same thing, because leprosy is a picture of sin in the Bible. And how many times have we seen people in sin and we throw stones at them? A stone is something hard and something that hurts. And we throw stones by saying things that are hard and things that hurt with people that have sin in their lives. Just let some pastor or Christian leader fall into sin and watch the stones come out. The harsh words, the hurting things said towards them. I've been the recipient of stones. And guess what? I've thrown some myself. Christians are the only ones who shoot their wounded. We kick each other when we're down, and we find some crooked pleasure in it as well. No, we're no different than these self-righteous rabbis. Now, the question is, did Jesus throw stones at this man with the leprosy? No, he touched him, according to verse 41. Jesus could have. He could have said from a distance, don't come any further. Be clean from way back there. Be clean, and he would have been cleansed. But Jesus touched him. Jesus is into touching the untouchable, loving the unlovable. He's into the outcasts of society. And here's this man who probably haven't been touched by anyone for years. Comes to Jesus and says in verse 40, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." This man knew that Jesus was able to heal him. This is why he came to Jesus from the start. But he was wondering, "Are you willing to do it for me?" And this is where a lot of people struggle. Not with God's ability, but with his willingness. And people say all of the time in their hearts, "I know you've done things for other people, but are you willing to do it for me?" And this man was probably thinking, "You know, I've heard that you've healed the sick, cast out demons, but I have leprosy and it's spreading. Are you willing to make me clean?" And here's a person who haven't been touched by a human in a long time. Jesus could have spoke the word and he'd have been healed. But he touched him and said in verse 41, "I am willing." And this must have been music to his ears. Because people feel unworthy of God doing something for them because of sin and leprosy in their lives. Many of us, we don't doubt God's ability. We doubt his willingness because maybe we have leprosy ourselves and we like, we got sin in our life. God, I know, I've seen you do stuff for other people, but you wouldn't do it for me. You know, maybe I have to clean my life up first and then you can do something for me. And we feel unworthy of the Lord touching us. But here's music to your ears that he is willing. He is willing to make you clean as well. And maybe you've done some things that you still feel dirty, you feel unclean and unworthy. He can make you clean if you come to him in brokenness and humility like this man did. Once again, like everyone else, when Jesus touched him, verse 45 says he went out and told everyone. Something happens in us and to us when we truly been touched by Jesus. Will you let him touch you today? He can. And the result will be your life will never be the same again. Let me conclude with this. A question for you to ponder is, have you been touched by Jesus? If so, it will be seen in a changed life. You will serve and you will tell others about your experience with Jesus. Jesus also showed us how to handle success and popularity. It's by coming apart before we fall apart. Spending time each morning in prayer and Bible study to get our orders for the day. And finally, if you've been a rabbi lately, throwing stones at other people on the job or in your family with leprosy, you need to repent and ask for forgiveness because it's not right to do. It's not right. You need to come today and let Jesus touch you and make you a new person in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for being so good to us. Thank you for loving us because you first loved us. And Lord, we pray that you will touch people throughout this place in the West Auditorium and you will touch them. And Lord, we pray that it will result in a changed life. Lord, do a work in people's lives. Let your word move in their hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.